Father, we just thank you for your presence with us. And Lord, we just pray that in this time, Lord, as I speak, Lord, it's not my words, but it would be your words that would be heard. Father, I pray that we would be open to hear your voice above our own and above the other voices that often take our attention. And Jesus, we're so thankful for this prayer that you gave to the disciples that says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Okay, this morning, as we've mentioned, we're following on in the Lord's Prayer. And so far, we've looked at this first section, which talks about "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come and your will be done in earth as it is in heaven." And this part primarily puts our focus on God. It's addressing him. It's addressing who he is. And Jeremy, in the first week, looked at how God wants that intimate relationship with us, that he wants us to call him Father. And he's not distant, but he's close. And Jonathan last week was looking at God's kingdom coming on earth. And actually the part we have to play and the challenge there is in for us to be part of what God wants to do on this earth. So today we go on to the next part, and it changes emphasis slightly. It goes from looking up to God to looking at us and our needs and our concerns. And it starts with, "Give us this day our daily bread." Now, if I asked you all this morning what you had for breakfast, I won't go around the room because it would take too long, but I imagine there would be a huge variety of various things that you'll have eaten. We did this in our Keys to Freedom just on the first week as a bit of an icebreaker, and it was amazing even in quite a small group, the things people have for breakfast. Anyway, I think what I'm trying to bring from that is the fact that in Welton and in the West, it's maybe not so much if we have food, it's actually what food will we eat. There's a bit of a difference, isn't there? It's a different question. So when we read this about asking for our daily bread, is it something that we're really needing? But let's take it slightly broader and look at it not just about food, but as our physical needs. What are our physical needs, and are our physical needs being met on a daily basis? Now, to be honest, again, for the majority of us, yes, because we have homes to live in. We have running water, electricity, food, and clothes to wear. And I'm aware cost of living is going up, and some of these things are getting harder. But on the whole, we have our daily physical needs met. And we don't really need to ask God for this on a daily basis. But it's interesting, this verse doesn't say, "Give me this day my daily bread." It says, "Give us this day our daily bread." The prayer starts with calling God our Father. God is an inclusive God. So we're not called just to ask for our own needs to be met, but for those who are around us, who also may be in need. And maybe as we pray, God might ask us to answer our own prayers and prompt us to share what we have with those who lack. There's a quote that I came across that says, "If every person, business, institution, and government worked according to the purposes and principles of God's kingdom, no one would be hungry, because God has given humanity everything we need to produce enough food to feed everyone on earth." But let's look a little bit deeper into this phrase, "Give us this day our daily bread." The idea of daily bread links back to the Old Testament. God provided for the Israelites in the wilderness after their exodus from Egypt. Life in the wilderness was hard, and the people were hungry. And they began to complain to Moses and Aaron, "If only we'd stayed in Egypt. There we sat round pots of food and ate all we wanted." They focused on what they had then, but they forgot they were encased in slavery. Yet God listened. He graciously listened to their grumblings, and he provided for them. Exodus 16 says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions.'" The bread only lasted for one day. For those that gathered more, it was full of maggots and smelt and became inedible. Why did God only give them enough for one day? You know, if we shop, I shop weekly on Tesco's, it's for the week, isn't it? So why didn't God give them enough for the week? Well, God is a relational God, and he wanted to journey with them as he wants to journey with us, and not just meet us at the end of the week or the end of the day, but to actually travel through each day with them. See, he loved the Israelites, and he wanted that love to be returned. He wanted them to look to him and not just to his hand. He tested their obedience. Why? Because it revealed their heart. His desire was for relationship and trust to grow. He wanted them to see that every day he would provide for them. He would care for their physical needs. There's a story that I found as I was looking for this morning, and it's this story about after the war in Korea. The South Korea was left with a large number of children who'd been orphaned by the war. And one of the relief workers that was assigned to help spoke of a specific problem they had encountered with the children. Even though the children were provided with three meals a day, they were restless, they were anxious at night, and they had difficulty sleeping. As the workers talked to the children, they realized that the children had great anxiety about whether there would be enough food for them the following day. So to help resolve the problem, the relief workers placed a single piece of bread in each child's hand when they went to bed. Now, this bread wasn't intended to be eaten. It was simply intended to be held by the children as they went to sleep. It acted as a security blanket for them, reminding them that their provision would be there for their next day's needs. And it worked. The bread calmed the children's anxieties, and it helped them sleep. Now, I don't know the rest of the story, but I hope that over time, the children's relationship and trust with the relief workers would have grown so they would stop needing the bread as they realized they could trust the workers to provide everything that they needed. Now, we may listen to this story and look back at the lives of the Israelites and wonder why they didn't trust God more. But is this because we know the rest of the story and we can see how God came through for them? You know, how do we fare in our trust with God? Do we really recognize him as our provider and rely on him to meet our needs? Or do we prefer to have a security blanket of our own supply and ways of doing things ourselves that we keep stored away? Now, please hear me. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be wise with what we have and save where we can. But if our security is in that and rather than in God, maybe there's an issue we need to look at. God invites us into relationship with him. You know, he's a good father that wants to commune with us. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus gives us permission to ask of the Father. He says, tell him what you need. Share your concerns and your desires with him. Requesting daily bread is not only about our physical provision. It can also refer to asking God to provide for our less tangible needs. Now, if we were brought up with good parents, we would know that not only for that they would provide for our physical needs, but they'd also provide for us in a practical, emotional, and relational way as well. But sometimes we may struggle to trust God to meet our needs, and instead of praying, we resort to worrying. Now, some of you will remember Gavin Williams. Some are even related to Gavin Williams in the room. Gavin was a member of our church for many years, and I remember one of the first house groups I went to that he was taking, and he had this small slip of paper which he gave to each of us, and I still have it pinned on my notice board. And it says, if a problem is worth worrying about, it's definitely worth praying about. And it stuck with me. You know, God knows that we worry. In fact, interestingly, shortly after instructing his followers on the Lord's Prayer, Jesus talks to them about anxiety. And he says this, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food and the body more than clothes? But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. The reason Jesus says we do not have to be anxious is because God is our loving Father, and he's a good Father. He already knows what we need before we ask it. In this passage, we see that if we seek the spiritual first, the kingdom of God, our heavenly Father will provide for all our physical needs as well. He says, look to me, and everything else will fall into line. And in the following chapter in Matthew, Jesus says this, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. Which one of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Or in Luke it says, give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. These passages are really great passages to get hold of. But what do we do if our experience is different? Where do we put our disappointment if we have prayed for God to provide for our needs and we feel like God hasn't come through for us? Maybe it feels like he's overlooked us. Maybe it feels that he's distant or he doesn't care. You know, it's really important that we are real with God and we tell him and we pour it out to God, just as we see in the Psalms. But what is going on in these moments when God appears to be silent? You know, it's complex and we don't have time this morning to go into it all. But one thing I've realized through personal experience is that there's always a bigger picture. Now, there's something I have been asking God about for quite a long time. And it would seem like God has ignored my requests or not answered or answered in ways that it's just not making sense. And where I've hoped for open doors, it's been closed. And for those looking on, and for myself as well, it has looked like God doesn't care. He's not present. But I know that's not truth. So I've kept going back to God, saying, show me, God, the bigger picture. Show me what you see. Show me what you're doing. And see, in the waiting and in the wrestling and in the questions, I realized that I'm growing. I'm growing in my relationship and trust of God because I believe he is still in it, and I am choosing to trust him first. I came across this quote this week that says, the true test of Christianity is when you don't understand anything at all and you still trust God. You know, I still have a way to go, but that is my goal, is to still trust God when it all looks like it's not making sense. You know, there's something greater than our earthly needs being met, and that is our spiritual ones being met. At the end of the day, God has met our ultimate needs in Jesus. He's given us rescue and restoration through Jesus on the cross. Romans 8 says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Jesus sees our physical needs, and he will provide for us. And we need to hold on to that. When Jesus was teaching a large crowd for a long time, he realized they were all hungry, and he had compassion on the crowd. And rather than sending them away, saying, you've obviously had enough, you need to go and eat, he said, oh, let's provide for them. And he miraculously did that from 2 loaves and 3 fish. And there were still loads left over. It shows the abundance of what God wants to do. You know, the crowd were hungry and God provided. And in that, he was revealing a lesson. He was revealing who he was and how he would provide. Because in everything we go through, God is showing us something of himself. Now, sometimes we may ask something of God that we think is the best for us. But in his wisdom, he knows there's something better. There's something more for us. And he says, I see that need you have, and I want to fill it for you, but you need to let go of what you want the answer to be so I can fill it with something better. Sometimes we have to let go of what we want and trust God with the outcome. He doesn't want us just to relate to him through his hand, just going and saying, Lord, I need this, I want this. He wants us to relate to his heart and be in relationship, a trusting relationship with him. John 6:35, Jesus makes this interesting declaration. He says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. And then again, slightly further on, he says, I am the bread of life. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread. And throughout Scripture, he reminds us that there's something more important than our physical needs, and that's to experience Jesus as our daily bread. Being in daily communion with him brings us life. The point is reiterated when Jesus has been fasting for 40 days and he's tempted in the desert. The enemy says to him, if you really are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. And Jesus replies, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. See, physical food is not enough because we are more than physical beings. We are spiritual beings. And we need to feed our spirits through the word of God and being in relationship with him. And again, Jesus responds to his disciples after the conversation with the woman at the well, where he's just revealed himself as the Messiah. Jesus, he was tired and he'd sat down to rest, and the disciples had gone off to get food. And when they came back, they urged him to eat, saying, Rabbi, eat something. And he responds by saying, but I have food to eat that you know nothing about. And what he didn't mean was that he had a secret supply in his backpack from breakfast. It meant that he was in communion with God, and he was having his needs met more from him, from God. The night before Jesus died, when he ate Passover with his disciples, it says he took bread and he gave thanks and he gave it to his disciples, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And we do. We take communion to remember what he has done for us at the cross. But taking the bread also reminds us that he is our provision. Give us this day our daily bread. The reality is we need God in every area of our life, whether that's physical, emotional, or spiritual. And Jesus wants us to have a daily dependence on him and to ask and expect him to answer our needs, but also to pray for those around us where we see need. Our greatest needs are met through relationship with him. We need to look to his heart and not just to his hand. And as we do that, we need to trust that he'll provide all that we need. And I want to encourage you today to seek God with your heart. Because do you know what? When you do, you will find him. We're just going to close by, I'm just asking for some music to be played. And I just felt as I was doing this morning, there were three things that God might be saying to us. There might be more, so I don't want to limit to that. But three things I felt I just wanted to mention. Maybe you have a physical need and you've not actually named that before God before. You've got it, but you've not said, well, there's no point because he won't give it to me. I felt God would prompt you today, say, ask, be specific for what you need and ask. It may be that some of you have been praying about something that you really want. And God's actually saying, I want you to give me that. I want you to trust me. I want you to be able to give it up, so I can actually give you something better. Or it may be, and this is my heart for everybody this morning actually, is that God would stir our hearts so that every morning we waken up hungry for God. And that's my desire above everything else, that I would waken hungry for God and I wouldn't just think, no, I don't need him today because I read my Bible yesterday or did that yesterday, but actually looking at every day, am I waking hungry for God? So I'm just going to pray, and as I pray, I just want you to say, God, where am I with you? What are you saying to me this morning? Holy Spirit, would you just come? And Father, we don't want to feel that our stomachs are full and we need nothing else. God, would you show us the things that we're holding on to that you're saying, I have something better. Lay it down. Trust me. Oh, God, you so want to grow our relationship with you in trust. Would you show us, Lord? If God is showing you something, then I just, in your mind, just actively lay that down at the foot of the cross. Jesus, would you stir us today? Would you stir our hearts today? But our prayer is, give me more of Jesus. Just as this song is playing, just that sense of God, where I've not been stirred, where I'm stagnant, where I've stopped. God, would you show me what needs to be moved out of the way? And this morning, would you stir my heart for you? And if there's anything that you specifically would like prayer for this morning, I'm just going to ask the prayer team to go up the back just now. And if there's something you just think, actually, I just need to lay this down with somebody today. Or I just want somebody to say, yeah, I want that passion for Jesus again. If you want to pray that with somebody, there's a few people up at the back who would love to pray for you. Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Linda. That's so good. I would encourage you to keep all of those things that Linda shared about. I think that thing of, around trust really just stuck with me this morning. Do I really trust God, the person, the God who gives us good things? He promises only to give us good things, and we can trust him. Encourage you, let's stick around, go and pray. These guys love to pray with you. We've got pastries and coffee as well, so stick around for that, have a chat and catch up, but do take the opportunity to pray. Let me just close in prayer for us. Yeah, Lord, we thank you for this time together when we can be open before a God who loves us and wants to give us good things. And we pray as we go into this week, Lord, that we would be able to trust you, be able to see you a bit more each day, Lord. Amen.